Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. We are continuing our series of lessons on the book of Mark. So I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, if you will, please. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 46 through 52 in just a moment. We're coming close to the end of the book of Mark. I want to, on Easter Sunday, to be able to talk about the resurrection. But as I began to look at this, there is so much stuff here. And so we're going to be kind of skipping over just a little bit so we can, you know, work it to the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And then the Sunday following that, we'll be talking about Christ's ascension into heaven. So next week we will be talking about the triumphal entry. And then we're going to kind of just skip just a little bit as we prepare for the death, the crucifixion of Christ, His resurrection, and then, of course, His ascension. Today's lesson is seeing beyond your circumstances. Seeing beyond your circumstances. So I want you to listen to Mark as he begins here, Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Oh, by the way, Betty Patterson is back with us today. So thankful that she's with us. It's good to see you, sister. I know you've been ill. It's good to see you back. Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 46. Says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. My youngest grandchild is Rianne Sonnefeld. She is Shonda's younger daughter, who will be turning 14 in June. So please pray for us, okay? But when Rianne was almost 3 years old, Shonda and her girl, Shaylee and Rianne, my other granddaughter, Brianna. Can't you see the orneriness on his face? Brianna, Shonda, Rianne, Shaylee, Brianna, and I went to a church conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma called the Tulsa International Soul Winning Workshop. It was held in March of every year. It's much like the North American Christian Convention that the independent Christian churches put on, where thousands of people attend, except it is put on by the Churches of Christ. And during the first night in the motel, we were all getting settled into our beds to go to sleep, and Rianne was in bed with her mom. Shaylee and Brianna were sleeping together, and I was sleeping on a rollaway bed. And just about the time that I was dozing off, I heard Rianne yell out, I can't see! I can't see! I'm blind! And I raised my head to look over at where she and Shonda were sleeping, and there was Rianne sitting up in the middle of the bed with her eyes closed, yelling again, I can't see! I can't see! And so I said to her, sweetie, open your eyes. And opening her eyes, she looked around and said, oh. Now, not all circumstances are that easily solved, okay? I want you to understand that. Sometimes we feel as if we are stuck in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves. Is there any way to turn off this music? Anybody know? Okay, there we go. All right. Daylight savings time, this is on the old time, okay? So we're going to have this until finally we can figure it out how to change that time. But again, not all circumstances are easy to solve. And sometimes we feel like that we are stuck in circumstances that we find ourselves in. We're unable to see beyond the crisis, the trouble, the problem in our lives. We're unable to hear beyond whatever this is. And we desperately look for a sign or a message that tells us that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. That our circumstances will change or that they will improve. Now, obviously, not all circumstances can change. Not all of our circumstances may change. But our attitude toward these circumstances must change. Amen? It is our attitude toward them. But one thing that I know for sure is that yours and my circumstances will never get better until we take steps to make them better. And that is what Bartimaeus discovered in today's lesson. Now, I want you to look at take a moment here to sketch out for you. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please. I want us to sketch out for you the circumstances that this man found himself, okay? Number one, firstly, he was blind, okay? He was blind. And a blind man in the first century couldn't work. He couldn't read or write. There was no such thing as Braille writing. He couldn't even get around by himself without the help of others. Secondly, he was reduced to begging. A man in his condition, unless he had family to support him, could not support himself, and so they often would find themselves down by a popular thoroughfare where they will cry out, alms, alms, alms for the poor. Thirdly, he was an object of pity. And I say that because of the way that he made his living. It was only by soliciting the pity of those that he could survive. Only by soliciting their pity. And he probably got pretty good at what he did. And then fourthly, for the most part, his life was reduced to the last few words found in verse 46, and that is sitting by the roadside. The last few words, sitting by the roadside. So here's his circumstances. Blind, begging, pitied, sitting by the roadside. And for most people, such obstacles would almost be inescapable. However, Bartimaeus, even though he was blind, was able to see beyond the circumstances and do something about them. Okay? What he was able to do. And as Jesus passed by the road where Bartimaeus was begging, this blind man took a leap of faith that led to his healing. Had he not taken the steps that he did, his circumstances would never have improved. So there are four actions that we're going to be looking at today. Four actions that Bartimaeus did that I believe will also help us in dealing with those difficult circumstances that come our way. Number one is this. Number one, we need to believe you can move beyond your circumstance. Say this with me, believe you can move beyond your circumstance. Now, sometimes we don't move beyond our circumstance because we believe that nothing can be done to make it better. And with Bartimaeus' circumstance, he could certainly be subject to this kind of reasoning. I mean, okay, so reports have filtered down to Jerusalem that a man named Jesus was coming and this man was able to heal the blind. Probably fantasy. Or although Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is in town, that he's coming down the very same road where he spends his time begging, Jesus is probably a busy man. He probably doesn't have time for Bartimaeus, even if the reports of his healing power are true. I mean, this is what Bartimaeus could be thinking. But instead, he looks at Jesus coming as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to change or to improve his present situation. In verse 47, it says here that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, friends, I want you to understand that we will never move beyond our circumstances unless we believe that God is able. Say that with me. God is able. We need to believe that God is able to make our circumstances better. A couple screams, "Our marriage is on the rocks and there's absolutely nothing that we can do to reignite the spark. A student whines, I'll never get a good grade in this class, so what's the use trying? Church members lament, there's no life, no spirit, no growth in this congregation. It's only a matter of time that we're going to close our doors. I mean, Bartimaeus was in a dire situation. But he believed that something could be done to change it, so he took the initiative to call out to Jesus. Now, on the other hand, there are those who don't necessarily like the circumstance where they find themselves, but they resolve to stay where they are because it becomes comfortable. They find security in the circumstance. Do you know people like that? Who just don't move beyond where they are and they complain about it and yet they do nothing. Let me give you an example. I have taught several debt management classes using Dave Ramsey's The Total Money Makeover, Financial Peace University curriculum. And those who take this class are usually deeply in debt and they need help to get out. They need help to manage their money. Now, much of the debt that we accumulate are caused by little plastic things that we call credit cards. Am I right about that? I mean, they're easy to use. I mean, they're so easy to use. In fact, they are even easy to get. Do you ever get something in the mail that says, you are approved of this credit card, you have been approved. I mean, they're so easy to get, they're so easy to use, but yet they're also so easy to get us into trouble. And so during this class, we come to a point where I say, okay, if we really want to get out of debt, it is now time to cut up the credit cards. And I get out the scissors and we start performing plastic surgery. You know what I'm saying? We start cutting those things, and there are many people who, I mean, will do it. They'll open up their wallet, and they'll give me 2, 3, 4 credit cards they have in their wallet, and we're chopping those things up, and we put them in a big jar, and I mean that big jar just has pieces and pieces of credit card. But then there are always those in that class who simply refuse. And the reason they refuse is because their credit card to them means security. It's the very thing that has gotten them into trouble, and yet they refuse to cut up the credit cards, to get rid of the credit cards, because to them it is security. Now, Bartimaeus could have felt the same way in his circumstance. No, he didn't particularly enjoy sitting beside the road begging, but it was, he was content. It wasn't something it was something he knew, something he did well. Being dependent upon others wasn't the most rewarding lifestyle, but yet he knew what he would be doing, tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. But yet Bartimaeus dreamed of something more. He wanted to see. And so he took this opportunity to do something about it, to step out on faith, to step out into the unseen. Many people are fearful of moving beyond something they know and exchange it for something untried, even if it's not working for them. They're still fearful to move beyond that. Bartimaeus moved. And he said to Jesus in the verse 52, Jesus said to him, he says, go, your faith has healed you. Because Bartimaeus was able to take that step, to step out on faith, to step out into the unseen, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Friends, our circumstances will never improve in our personal lives. They'll never improve in our churches unless we move beyond our comfort zones and step out on faith toward the unseen. Do you believe that? Amen? Amen. Secondly, we need to clarify what is really needed. Again, I want you to say this with me. Clarify what is really needed. Now, notice that Jesus asked Bartimaeus in the first part of verse 51. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I find that question interesting, okay? What do you want me to do for you? Why would Jesus ask that? I mean, didn't Jesus know that the man was blind, that he couldn't see? I mean, couldn't he read the man's mind and knew what the man wanted? But you see, the question wasn't really asked for Jesus' benefit. It was asked for the benefit of Bartimaeus and those who were standing by. I mean, seldom do we do anything about our circumstances until they are forced into our awareness. It's when a police officer returns your teenager home after running away that you realize that you need to spend more time with your son and with your daughter. It's when you are threatened with being fired that you realize that your job performance level needs to drastically improve. It's when the bank sends you a foreclosure notice that you take greater control of your finances. It's when you have a heart attack that you decide, you know, maybe I need to take some steps to take care of my health. I mean, we should be asking ourselves, what do we need Jesus to do for us so that we can, you know, take greater control of the circumstances that we often get ourselves into? Yes, that's right. Much of the circumstances that we have are because of us. It's our fault. Because of decisions we make, poor decisions that we make, and we put ourselves and get ourselves into many of these difficult circumstances. I mean, when Jesus asked Bartimaeus that question, without hesitation, he said, in the latter part of verse 51, he says, "Rabbi, I want to see." Say that with me. "Rabbi, I want to see." You ask me what I want? That's what I want. I want to be able to see. I mean, what do you need? What do you need for Jesus to do for you? What do you need to improve your physical, emotional, and spiritual life? What do you need to make your marriage and your family life better? What do you need to increase your performance at work? What do you need to do to get out of debt? On and on and on, we can ask these questions. And by honestly considering and answering these questions, I believe that we will then be able to see and move beyond the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Amen? But then thirdly, stop worrying about what people say. Say this with me. Stop worrying about what people say. Wow. You know, something that keeps many of us from moving beyond is the fear of disapproval from others. We don't want somebody to disapprove of us. We plan, we pray, we set our goals, but then someone comes along and throws cold water on us and we stay in the rut of our situation. A 40-year-old man plans to go back to college and finish his degree, but after being mocked by some of his friends, he decides that, it's a stupid idea. That's a stupid idea. A housewife starts a new diet and exercise regimen to lose some weight, but after her husband's incessant jokes, she finally gives up and returns to her old habits. A man starts a spiritual-based 12-step program to help him quit drinking, and yet his buddies at work begin to deride him and tell him he's just not as much fun as he used to be, and so he quits the program and takes up the bottle again. A teenager accepts Christ as his Lord and Savior and really turns his life around, but after being, you know, incessantly ridiculed by his unbelieving father, he leaves the faith and returns to the lifestyle that he once lived. You see, we just let people just tell us and discourage us because of things that they say. But Bartimaeus got his share of people who disapproved. In verse 48, it says here that after crying to Jesus, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I mean, he was determined not to allow what others thought or said to keep him from taking the necessary actions to help improve his circumstances. I mean, had he listened to them, you know, he would spend the rest of his life on the street corner begging. That's what he would be. He would just still be there, alms for the poor. But you know, no matter what plans are made to move beyond our circumstances, either personally or as a church, I want you to know that there will always be somebody out there who's going to disapprove. I don't care what you do, what you tried to do. There's always going to be somebody out there who's going to disapprove. And if we sit back and do nothing out of fear that we're going to upset somebody, our situation will never, ever get better. I mean, marriages have ended in divorce because somebody talked the husband or the wife or both out of getting counseling. Job promotions have slipped through the fingers of many employees who listened to the pessimistic remarks of others. Churches have gradually dwindled down to nothing because of a few complainers. So let's be more like Bartimaeus and not allow the disapproval of others to hinder us from moving beyond our circumstances. Whatever they are, let's not allow others to hinder us to move beyond our circumstances. Amen? Number four, do something bold and drastic. Say that with me. Do something bold and drastic. Now again, believing that change is possible, clarifying what is needed and refusing to listen to the negative remarks of others are great. But you still can't move beyond your circumstances until you take action. You've got to take action. Bartimaeus was tired of his circumstances. We don't know from the scripture here how long he'd been on that street corner. You know, there every day asking for whatever help he could possibly get so that he could survive. We don't know how long he's been in those circumstances. So when he heard that Jesus was coming, he took a bold and drastic move by crying out to Jesus to show him some mercy. You see what Bartimaeus was? Bartimaeus was a risk taker. I mean, he had no idea how Jesus would respond, if he would respond at all. I mean, he only knew that if he didn't make a move now, that he would never be anything more than a blind beggar. But yet in verse 49, Jesus tells the disciples, hey, go call that guy. Call him and tell him to come here. His bold and drastic move paid off. I mean, what a great feeling it must have been for Bartimaeus to hear the words from the disciples of Christ. Hey, cheer up. On your feet. He's calling you. And immediately, I mean, I can just picture this. You know, Bartimaeus, I mean, he's excited. And he jumps to his feet. He takes off his cloak and he goes to Jesus, blind, but yet he follows the voice of Jesus. And after telling Jesus that he wanted to see, Jesus said in verse 52, go, your faith has healed you. And it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus because he did something about it. Friends, I want you to understand that faith always requires action. I mean, faith is a verb. It always involves action. Bartimaeus put everything on the line. He made a bold and drastic move, knowing that he might be rejected by Jesus, ridiculed by people around him, but he did it anyway because he wanted something better. He wanted something better. I mean, we're talking about risks here, aren't we? These are risks. You know, it's a scary thing to leave the security of what we know. That's a scary thing to do, to leave the security of what we know, because there are too many what-ifs, just too many what-ifs. Bring up that slide. Now, we say things like, well, what if I can't make the grade in college? What if? Well, what if he still wants a divorce after we go to counseling? Well, what if my boss fires me when I ask for a raise? What if she gets upset when I talk to her about Jesus? What if someone gets angry and leaves the congregation if we implement this new outreach ministry? You see, friends, we can what if ourselves to the grave. You know, what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, what then? What then? But with what risk do you need to take to move beyond your circumstances? That's really what the question is in this story today. What are the risks that you need to take to move beyond your circumstances, whatever they are? I mean, do you need to go back to school and finally get your degree? Do you need to get up a little earlier and start that exercise program? Now I've gone to meddling here now. Do you need to muster up enough courage to ask your boss for a raise? Do you need to take a debt management class to get better handle on your money? Do you need to seek counseling to get your marriage back on the right track? Do you need to finally step out during the invitation song and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What do you need to do? What do you need to do? What risk? You see, faith always requires risk. In fact, there's a passage of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, where Jesus says that, that we do not walk by faith or by sight, but by what? By faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. You see, that's exactly what Bartimaeus, I mean, he was physically blind, but really what helped him was to know that this is my chance. This is my chance. I've heard about this Jesus. I've heard about what he can do. And this is my chance to get up and walk by faith and see what Jesus can do for me. I mean, that's always our promise, isn't it? Because whatever we need to do, wherever we are in our situations, we need to have the faith that God is at work and that God is able. This past week, I get an email from Rick Hines telling me that he was accepted has a new job. Amen. It's kind of interesting because, I sent that prayer chain out, wanted to pray for Rick because he lost his job. And I'm telling you what, when you lose your job, that can be devastating, can't it? Because you realize, man, what do I do now? That income is not coming in. But yet my mortgage is still going to be due. I still got to pay the utility bills. There's still bills I need to pay. And yet, how can I do it if I don't have an income coming in anymore? And I first heard about this from his wife, Terry, who let the praise band know, please be praying for Rick because he lost his job. He needs work. And so I put that out there and I know our church family. I know we have prayer warriors out there, and they were already praying. But not only were people praying, when I first put it out there, I couldn't get hold of Rick and ask him, can I send your phone, your cell phone number along with this email? Because I didn't know. So I started getting all these emails asking me, what's his number? What does he do? I thought, I don't really know what all he did for a living. So I got hold of Rick, said, Rick, can I put your number out? Put that number out. And I said, listen, if you want to talk to Rick, here's his number. And you started getting calls, didn't you, brother? Started getting calls. I was at Walmart this past week, and as I'm walking to the store, I hear this horn honking. And I'm trying to figure it out, and people are saying, Fred, and you're the kind of, when it happens, you look around and think, where's that coming from? Finally, I see Rick and his kids, they're over there, and they're yelling, and Dory gets out, hey, Pastor Fred, all that stuff. She's quite a cheerleader, And I go, hey, how you doing? I thought maybe they were getting ready to leave, didn't have no idea, so I went ahead and went into the store. And then here comes Charlie and Rick, coming around the corner there, he starts talking to me about this job. And do you mind sharing a little bit how you believe that this was an answer to prayer, brother?
Well, Jay, one of the guys, and it's a small family type work, for us. It's not where I'm used to in corporations. Very honest man.
Yeah.
What I was looking for, small back, what I used to do.
Yeah.
Last 8 years,
Yeah, you told me, you said, I think losing this job was God's doing all along.
I've been miserable where I was at.
Yeah.
Months.
Yes.
I have, like you said, I have been looking. But I just, looking, you know, I went to a couple interviews. This forced me to.
It brought it into your awareness. Yeah. I've got to do something here.
In 5 days, I had the job.
Yeah.
Countless interviews.
How many days?
5 days.
Amen. 5 days. He had his job. It's an interesting thing when he said that to me. He says, you know, I believe that losing that job was a God thing. Sometimes we find ourselves in these situations here and we don't understand God is at work. In fact, he said, I've already been looking for something, you know, and but yet, that's a scary thing to do. You'd make sure your boss didn't know you were looking for something because, again, you could be fired right on the spot. And so it's all secretive, all the things that he was doing, trying to find another work because he knows he needs something else. And then he's told, you're done. You're done. And I know at first you think, oh, no. Please. But then you realize, you know, maybe God is doing something here. Because God, I truly believe God works in our circumstances. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That He works in our circumstances. There's that passage of Scripture that says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We don't always see the good right in the middle of the circumstance, do we? But you see, God is still working there. In fact, I think sometimes in our lifetime, we may never see how God was working in a circumstance, but I do believe that one day, you know, we're going to be there with God, and God is saying, Fred, you know that time when you thought this was going on, and you prayed, and you know, and then you got upset with me, you know, remember that, Fred, you know? You got a little bit upset with me because I wasn't doing what you wanted me to do. Remember that, Fred? Well, because of that, over there, that took place. That happened over there. Because I was at work. You didn't see it, Fred. But I was at work doing that for you. You see, that's what God does. And so if you're dealing with difficult circumstances, and I know that we all have them, every one of us. We all have those problems and troubles, difficulties that we face. And we pray about it, and we pray about it, and we may not always see God at work at the beginning. But you know what happens? We go through it. You look back and you realize, look what God was doing all along. Look what He was doing all along. You see, God doesn't give up on us. Let's don't give up on Him. Because faith always requires risks. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, I want you to know God loves you deeply. I mean, He gave His Son for you upon that cross. You know, we're coming now to the Easter season. And our lessons are going to be more focused on the last. In fact, next week as we talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus, we are now within that last week of Jesus' life, 1 week. And so the rest of Mark deals with only 1 week. 1 week. And we're going to be looking at that and what that means and what Jesus is doing during that last week of His life and how it impacts us as His followers. Because that's really what we've been talking about throughout this entire book of Mark, how do we be a true follower of Christ. And we're going to learn how we can do that. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, I want you to know God loves you. Maybe you're just struggling with life. Maybe you really haven't yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day that you ask about that and give your life to Him. I'd like to have one of our elders up front, if you will, please. And if one of our ladies can be up front, I would appreciate one of our ladies. Yes, Susan? I can't hear her. Can anybody else?
God did it to be with
you. Okay.
Okay. Because I had to go out. And I said, God, help me.
Yeah.
God moves me to make it easier.
Amen. Yes. Yes, amen.
Amen.
She was praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, sister. Again, at the time, you had no idea, okay, God moved me from my position I've always been doing, but now you got this shoulder that hurts in that position, and God says, I've got your back, Susan. I've got something else for you. I've got something else for you. Again, it's how God works. We're going to be singing this invitation song, and during this invitation song, if you have a prayer that you want us to be, a situation you want us to be praying about, we want to pray for you. If you have a question about what can I do to give my life to Christ, we want to help you with that question, whatever it is. I mean, we're here today to help you no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the sin is. We are here today to pray for you and to help you as together we stand and we sing.